get the ones you could clip it on, whatever. Yeah. It rocked her world. I did not want to tell her this. So I drive home. I park.
Yeah.
The next morning, my grandma sees it.
It's like that scene out of Hereditary when she comes downstairs and she sees her daughter's decapitated body.
I drop.
She starts screaming.
Is that what it's like, man?
I saw this crazy article the other day. It was from the BBC. It was a special report. Your neighborhood's a disarray. I mean, what's going on? There's dog fighting going on, and there's dog fighting going on in your neighborhood. Your daughter finds it to be one of the most hilarious things ever. You have a little Michael Vick in here. She's laughing at Coco Mel. I mean, this is just absolute insanity.
I think she's doing really good this episode. She was trying to laugh at your joke.
I think she lacks empathy. I really do.
Are you a sociopath, Ellie?
Yeah, no answer to that.
Answer in and of itself.
Yeah, exactly. So, find this report from the BBC. It's a special report. Justin Trudeau's latest investment has experts in awe and big banks terrified. Hmm. Now, the article reads, Canadian politician Justin Trudeau has made a name for himself as a brash straight talker who doesn't mind being honest about how he makes his money. Last week, he appeared on National
Observer. I agree with brash and talker.
It goes on to say that last week, he appeared on National Observer and announced a new wealth loophole, which he says can transform anyone into a millionaire within 3 to 4 months. Justin Trudeau urged everyone in Canada to jump on this amazing opportunity before the big banks shut it down for good. Here is exactly what happened. Co-host... invited Justin Trudeau on the show to share any tips he had on building wealth, and Justin Trudeau dropped a bomb. What's made me successful is jumping into new opportunities quickly and without any hesitation, and right now my number one moneymaker is a new Bitcoin auto trading program called BitAssist. It's the single biggest opportunity I've seen in my entire lifetime to build a small fortune fast, and I urge everyone to check this out before the banks shut it
down. This is Justin Trudeau, the current prime minister.
The current prime minister, and this is an article from the BBC. Now,
I would argue before you continue.
Yeah.
One other tip.
Yeah.
Wealth.
Right.
Have your father be the previous prime minister.
Didn't even know that.
This is another podcast show. It's a show where we gab and goof about really whatever is the top of mind. My name is Dylan. I'm settled up next to one real Nicholas Davis.
What a way to piss me off right before as we record. That makes me irate.
What?
Told you I wasn't going to bring Ellie anymore.
Will you just say, hi, I'm Nick.
Hi, I'm Nick.
Pat's producer of podcast over there behind my glasses.
Hey, everybody.
What are you doing? Why are you so upset?
It wasn't Elliot.
Oh, wasn't.
I love her addition to the program. It's fucking Justin Trudeau doing a live read and the BBC being in cahoots.
No, you are dense, my friend. This is a fake article.
It's a youngin.
It's a fake article saying that Justin Trudeau is telling people to go download BitAssist before the big banks shut it down. Now, my point, which you... so clearly shit on right now.
Did you say it was The Onion?
No. I said it was from the BBC.
Yeah.
My point was that schemes and scams are starting to get a little bit more nuanced and a little bit better. But
how did I shit on it? I fell for it because of the nuance.
Well, I'm saying, but they're still so horrendously bad that I don't understand how anyone over the age or under the age of 65 could fall for them. Mm. There's a BBC article saying Justin Trudeau is telling everybody to rush to this Bitcoin processing app. What? And I found it on a... illegal streaming site for Chris Hansen's Sunday broadcast of Red Zone.
You know, all these get-rich schemes, I didn't think they'd fall on... people would fall for
it. What's his name?
I have a particular family member.
Scott.
Scott Hansen.
In my very close proximity family member.
Yeah.
That refuses to go back to a real job and is now on, like, fourth scam... them not being scammed, but them getting scammed. The first one was learn how to trade stocks at home, and it was a $10,000 course that guaranteed you'd be an expert. That didn't work
out. Right.
Then there was another scheme where it was work from home. We're a company in Japan, and you just need to buy a bunch of this stuff. Buy in. And then we'll, it, almost like a Lulu, Luna Lu or whatever that doc
sure,
was.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Just absolutely refuses to just go to a 9-to-5 job.
And work.
Just, you'll be so much happier. And this person happens to be extremely miserable right now because
I wonder why.
They don't have, they can't find their footing. When you don't know what you're going to, what your next paycheck is, and you're still trying to find your place on the planet Earth, and you keep just grabbing at straws like this, I feel for them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It must be a unique kind of gray purgatorial hell that people are living
in. You never feel comfortable.
Well, it, a lot of thoughts. Like, I don't understand how people could fall for this shit because I'm so leery of most human beings anyways. I guess it's maybe it's the heeb in me. I constantly think I'm being attacked or fucked over. But maybe it gives me hope that there are people who have trust in others out there because there is a market for these morons. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's clearly people falling for these scams. With that whole, you know, do it at home thing, you can be a master at this too. It got me thinking, like, have you guys ever signed up for a master class?
I signed up for some app thing that teaches you about different things about business.
Yeah.
I forget what that was. And then they just started sending me so many fucking emails. I blocked them.
It seems like such a racket to me. Like,
There's a brand called MasterClass.
Right.
And then there's MasterClasses.
Right.
Because you can't copyright it.
Sure.
I signed up for the $800, and this is going to sound like an ad, full-time filmmaker.
Sure.
It's the most valuable $800
sure.
I've ever spent.
Right.
He's the most concise teacher. He talked to me about cameras.
That's fine because it's a tangible thing. He can teach you about
He's giving you
this.
A skill set online.
But these master classes are very amorphous arts, like negotiating, I guess, acting, writing, stuff like that. You can pick up some stuff, but also I feel like 99.9% of the people who have paid for masterclasses are paying for the masterclasses because they will never be a master of what they are signing up to be.
And
you're not going to write the novel because you watched the James Patterson masterclass on writing novels.
It will give you a couple weeks of fodder for when people ask you, like, what's new? Like, hey,
I'm working on something.
I'm
becoming a writer.
I just finished a vomit pass on my spec.
But you're conflating two things here, Dylan, when you're talking about this stuff. One is actually offering things. They're going to give you the tools. Like, here, this is how you play guitar. I'm going to teach you online. Or
yeah,
I'm going to teach
of.
You something about economics. The scams, the scam part is I'm going to make money off you by pretending that you're going to be successful.
Am I conflating it?
I think
am I conflating it? Because I don't think I am. The masterclass is a scam. It's what
I think
saying.
I was the one conflating it.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, the idea of someone saying, I'll teach you how to do the film thing or something like that. You learn the skill set and then you can pick or choose whether or not you're going to use those skills to earn money.
Mm-hmm. Right. I guess, yeah, but
Parker Wahlbach provided me value for that.
Sure. But again, that's very tangible. Like these are settings on a program. This is equipment you can use. I'll teach you
how
to
use
it.
But he goes so far past that. I don't want to turn this into an infomercial for full-time filmmaker, which I then used in my online book, Full-Time Podcaster, co-written by Marty O'Neill.
Can I tell you a full-time scam though, which is it's, because I think every good scam
full-time
gets people.
Scam, what do you mean?
Like a school. You actually go to a physical building to learn something. Is
like Scientology.
More like the Musicians Institute of Los Angeles.
100%.
Okay, so all scams.
1,000,000%.
The foundation is you have a dream to accomplish something,
right,
and
right.
then these scammers.
Sure.
Provide you with the possibility of having that dream.
Baseline knowledge and information for you to think that you'll succeed and never will.
All right. And the internet has now allowed these scammers to not have to have the overhead of
right.
a building in Los Angeles.
Grand Canyon University costs $1,500 a month to run.
Incredibly. That's online?
Yeah.
Because there is some campus that sounds like Grand Canyon University. That's one of the most beautiful campuses I've ever seen. I worked on it in my first job.
It could be Grand Canyon University. But anyways, musician MI, as it's known.
MI.
Now, and I should say that the buildings in Los Angeles, they look like needle exchanges.
Yeah.
They're horrifying.
Gray, decrepit, Windows just in linear fashion.
Your alma mater.
It looks like, well, hold on. Okay. I graduated from UNR and got a bachelor's degree in classical guitar performance. I went there for recording.
Yes, but you experienced the scam that was MI.
All the poor saps with their guitars.
Right.
For 4 years of learning how to play guitar. Now, I did that at a college, but I was also getting history. I had to get all the general topics as well, which rounded out my education.
Yes.
Which is the greater grift of higher education, that you need these things that are,
you know what, actually taking, they make you take some economic classes and stuff like that. It kind of got your brain.
Is it applied to the music industry? Because that's what Parker does for $800 a year or $800 total. And then you get to be part of this community, the full-time filmmaker Facebook
would
group.
You shut
all right up. I'm done. But what is UNR actually, for those that musically
University of Rhode Island Reno. Sorry.
So, but yeah, but that school,
mm-hmm.
I try and talk everybody out of it whenever I hear one of my friend's kids want to go there. I go, this thing's going to cost you $60,000 on the low end for this person to learn how to play guitar.
Right.
There's videos now that didn't exist 20 years ago when I was there.
100%.
Right? There, you could, before he died, Eddie Van Halen, he'll give you private lessons for $5,000 a pop.
Sure, yeah.
You can learn from a master.
Right.
Do not go to this place, because it's one of those places where all the staff are people that failed, and now they're teaching you.
Those who can't do teach. If you are,
but that is a complete scam. Although kids love it, but I think it's a waste of 4 years. You could be doing much better with your time.
I know this is a comedy podcast, but I feel like there's this.
I think we're hilarious.
This is a stigma. There's this stigma against higher education. I guess broad education in general. There's this fad currently in the zodiac. Who needs higher education? The zeitgeist, where all you need to do is have a trade. You don't need to go to college. You don't need a broad, you know, you don't need a humanities degree or anything like that.
You absolutely don't. Okay. No. I am part of that.
No, I know. And I am to a certain degree. But also, I feel like it's discrediting the fact that taking a curriculum of classes that stress test your deductive reasoning and knowledge base is pretty fucking important in the long run. Sure, you're not going to ever really need to talk to people about Milton, but it's helpful to take a fucking Paradise Lost class, because it fires up certain parts of your brain.
They forced me to take the whole 4 years at UNR, I had to take Tai Chi. I did not want to fucking do that.
Well, that's a bad example.
No, but it was cool. I never would have signed up for that. I got a little taste of that stuff.
It exposes you to new ideas.
Yes. To me, that completely ripped apart the point that he was trying to make.
The Tai Chi class? Yeah, I think so, too. No, I think so, too.
No,
yeah.
I never would be.
I'm talking about academia.
I'd never be in yoga pants. That was part of the academia, because you learn all about thought and meditation and stuff. That's all welded in there.
I'm thinking about bound books, not outside on the lawn.
I think ultimately, if you're trying to better yourself and you're trying to take a class, it's not the institution, it's your intention when you're taking it. Like, have a plan. This is what I'm trying to accomplish. Have an end goal, and these people can get me there. Not take something because I'm not doing
well,
anything.
Listen,
I would like to punch air or whatever the fuck you were doing.
To be fair, it was 40 minutes once a week.
Listen, I know that intention's all well and good, but there are merits to these institutions. You know, you can have good intentions at Grand Canyon University, but you'll have no opportunity to suck the cock you need to suck at Yale to get into the Skull and Bones. And that's a powerful
organization.
You can't suck any cocks and cut goats' heads off at Grand Canyon University. You'll just be a weird male slut who decapitates goats.
Can you imagine?
It'll provide no value whatsoever to your life.
Can you imagine George Bush Jr. and John Kerry were at Skull and Bones in the same year? I think Al Gore might have been there, too, and like, hey, I'll see you guys in a couple years.
Yeah, exactly. And they were like,
just fucking coked up and fist pounding each other.
And Tommy Lee Jones is like, nah, I don't want to do any of that stuff. I ain't going to do it.
Oh, he was Al Gore's roommate in college. Yeah, exactly. Oh, shit, I forgot about that.
Wow. I didn't know that. I'm sorry, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
I enrolled in Pasadena City College very intentionally so I could get
an internship.
A free internship with the Adam Carolla Show, who lied and said they were going to be more strict with their interns.
Sure.
I am a Panther, and I forever will be a Panther.
listen to this. And I'll leave this in on the Facebook page, another podcast network Facebook group or something, what your thoughts are.
You got it.
I did something yesterday.
Yeah.
In which I thought was a good act.
Right.
I'm not a good act, but I cleaned my side of the street. I like that little saying.
Sure.
And then I pitched it to my wife, and she's like, oh, that wasn't cool. So here's what I did. I'm driving on a street called Doheny here in West Hollywood.
Sure.
I'm trying to park my car.
Famous street. Famous street.
Oh, yeah. Owned by but named after the famous Dohenys, in which they had the Doheny mansion. But that's neither here nor there.
Yes.
So it's a lovely street with a ton of apartment complexes. Now that's going to come into play with this story.
Right.
So I'm going to park. I have a meeting. And as I'm going to park.
What was the meeting about? Was it about sneakers or?
It was a consultation.
Okay.
It's a future business entanglement.
Sounds shady.
Was it?
Do you have a briefcase with you?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Aqua decoration.
Similar, yes.
Okay.
So I'm parking my car.
Yeah.
And my passenger side window.
Aqua deco.
Hits the mirror. I'm sorry. My passenger side mirror taps the driver's side mirror of a car.
Happened to me a week and a half ago.
Okay. And it hit it, so it actually moved, flowed with it. And then that mirror of the other car drops on the ground. And
oh, no.
So I park my car. I look around. You know, Doheny's a pretty busy street.
You must have been coming back a little hot then to knock that fucking thing off.
Yeah, I had a car trying to pass me as I'm trying to park. So I was trying, I scoot
zipped
a little
in.
Bit closer than I normally would. And so I knock it off and I'm like, ah, damn it. So I park my car, look around to see if anybody's, you know,
you
the person
away.
Or whatever. No, I would never do that.
What?
So, or would I?
You never know who's going to be on the other end of that. You know, you should just drive away. Moral of the story.
I'm going to give some details because these are going to factor in what my decision was.
Yeah.
All right. And then you guys can judge me on these little details that I picked up on and ultimately made a decision.
I think if you have $400 in your pocket before you get into it, if you have $400 in your pocket and you smash that person's mirror, leave them a note.
All right. So get this. With the $400?
I'm just saying $400 is a loose term. Like, disposable income, $400.
You're saying to leave the fiat on the window?
No.
In the note? Because that's an insane thing to tell people to do.
Oh, God, no. Oh, God,
no. Oh, okay. Because a couple things wrong with that. A vagrant could come walking in super baggy clothes and just rip it off the window. Or the person who receives the monetary compensation could say, I never got it.
Right. Okay. So
God, no,
I
that's
like
not what I'm
you
saying.
Guys, okay. You guys, I like what you guys are going with this because you're like my jury right now.
All well,
right.
I mean, Los Angeles is filled with litigious traffic interactions all the time.
Once again, I love where you're going with this.
Right.
So I knocked just the mirror off. So the arm of what holds the mirror is called the assembly. Okay. So I didn't damage that. And I might I add, this van was probably, well, I looked it up. It was 1996. It was an Astro something or other. It looked like it should be in Road Warrior.
Sure.
This
thing
see where this
had
is going.
Destroyed.
You can get a replacement mirror on eBay for $72.
Okay. Not that much, so I looked it up. Okay. But here's where I'm going with the story.
Pat assumed this person was an opportunist who would bleed him of every dollar he had.
Right. All right, you guys are laying out all the things going through my head. So
Pat, we've been there, bro.
I pull over and I leave a note and I said, I'm the one who broke your mirror. My name is Pat. I'm very sorry, and I'll pay for it, and I leave my number.
Don't applaud him for that. That's the least.
Least you're supposed to.
I thought he was about to say he fucking did it.
Well, the story's not finished yet, Nick.
Okay.
I leave that under the... I write it on a piece of paper. I leave it under the windshield wiper.
Somebody comes out screaming after you?
Nope. Okay. I go in, and I have my meeting. Right. I come out. No one's still there. Note's still there. And I go over, and I look at the mirror, which is shattered into three pieces. And I look at the mirror. And it turns out it has duct tape on the other side of it. This mirror is a replacement mirror having already fallen off because I didn't think the tap that I gave it was so severe that it would just knock it out of its
thing.
Well,
duct tape is a pretty powerful adhesive material. So I think that, you know, the truth lies somewhere between what happened and what you think.
Okay. So I pick up the pieces and I'm like, all right, this is duct tape. And I look up the van and on Amazon, it's $13 for this mirror replacement.
Sure.
I also, although I had to run off to another appointment,
right.
Was
briefcase
like,
full
where's
of cocaine.
The closest Pep Boys? Because I'll just go buy the mirror. I'll stick some double-sided tape on it.
Oh, that's crazy to waste that much time on.
So I make a decision. And that decision is, I get in my car, I have a $100 bill in my wallet. I roll it up in a piece of paper and I said, I'm sorry, I messed up your mirror. I looked it up. The mirror costs $13. Here's an extra 80 for your troubles. I apologize. Wrapped it up so no vagrant will see it as it's. And I put it right on the windshield and I drove off and I said, you know what? That's $80. That's $80 that's supposed to be.
That's, that's a windfall for that person.
I come home and I tell the wife I did that.
Yeah.
And by the way, I did factor in, oh, I give this person my number. The next thing they're telling me, oh no, I need the whole assembly kit for the arm, which
my
is $200.
My spinal cord's inflamed.
But you weren't in the car. But you weren't in the car. Right. Doesn't matter in this town.
Right.
People are so fucking litigious.
Yeah.
I drove off. I honestly thought I did a good thing. I'll even show you. I looked up the fucking mirror and I was like,
wait, you'll show, what do you mean you'll
proof.
Show us?
I wanted proof of my searches.
Cookies.
Okay.
So I pitched it to the wife and she said, what if the person's old? Now they don't have a mirror on their driver's side. That's dangerous for them to go buy a new mirror. And then
Sheree is just,
what if they don't have Amazon and now they got to drive over to a Pet Boys and buy it and then put it on? And I, to be fair, my brain hadn't done all that math.
No,
I just
no,
thought,
there's no to being fair. Is Cherie's middle name when, you know, debating you with things, and sometimes this happens with my wife, but is her middle name Devil's Advocate? come on.
Actually, it's BB, Ball Buster.
I mean, what the fuck? This seems like a great good deed you did.
It's not a good deed, but did I clean up my side of the street?
I want to ask you something. 100%. I want you to answer honestly.
Oh, back. I got to admit this. I was gonna omit this. It had a handicap placard on the
why did
the
you
mirror.
Omit
which
that?
Led the Cherie Devil's Advocate Hickey to believe that this person might have been older.
Now there's something else here. Now, you know, this happens in court cases sometimes. You know, but, you think somebody, let me finish. You think somebody's completely innocent. There's
so
no culpability. There's no
that.
Culpability at all. And then you hear that they kept one thing out. It's a little neggy worm that gets planted. Why did they leave that out? What else is going on? Did you get out of your car and have disdain for the look of this poor person's vehicle and kick the mirror off? Is that what happened?
No, but I will say the shape and look of the van definitely factored in my decision.
I would also like to ask, and you answer me honestly.
Yeah.
Because if you got out and you wrote that note in the beginning, to me, you might have seen the mirror at that time with the duct tape.
Mm-hmm.
It might have all snapped into focus then. You said you saw the duct tape when you came out.
Right.
To re-examine that it was there. Yeah. I'm going to ask a question. Let me finish.
Forthright cross-examination.
Please.
Be forthright.
Please.
And I apologize for cutting you off because I really wanted to finish.
No. You finish.
No. Earlier, you were like, let me finish. I was like, that's disrespectful. But I just did the same thing.
Disrespectful.
Did you write that note in the beginning, or did you come out and see it was still there?
No, that's the first thing I did.
You wrote the note. Okay.
Yeah, you got a bunch of busybodies on that street.
How'd you not see the duct tape? That's my Sherlock Holmes.
I wasn't.
He's lying.
Right.
No, I wasn't gonna investigate. It was three pieces. I was like, oh, I should probably clean that up, and I was gonna just pick it up off the road.
How'd you know the assembly wasn't? What do you call that when
damaged.
It's like? But not damage.
I'm happy to answer that question because I owned a tour company. And I had 5 tour buses, and our mirrors were constantly being knocked off by traffic going down Hollywood Boulevard as they were staged.
Sure.
I was accustomed.
The integrity of the assembly is what I was looking for.
I was accustomed to being able, as an expert, you'd say.
Yeah.
To
you are the Jamaican.
Surmise whether something needed to be replaced or it was damaged. It hadn't hurt the assembly kit.
Fair
at
enough.
All.
I guess I'm the prosecution rest.
Okay. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think you did anything wrong. And I think that your wife's middle name is Devil's Advocate. And listen, I
actually feel like that vagrant found $100 and that was the best day.
Maybe I'll set up a poll on another podcast network.
Yeah.
And if you guys say I'm a shitbag, I'll go over to Doheny. And if I see that van still sitting there with the mirror missing,
yeah.
I'll drive
you shouldn't
down.
Do this because this is an empty gesture.
And also.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
also,
you'll never do this once.
I might.
No.
Also how people in Los Angeles
you should
get
see what
killed.
I do.
You know, I don't want to,
I have a rearview mirror story.
You do?
Yeah. So my buddy Tom Duran,
one of the worst Hitchcock films ever made.
Rearview Mirror?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but I knew it was a movie.
Well, it's definitely not called Rearview Mirror.
Isn't it called Rearview?
Rear Window.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, that I've seen.
Oh, it's so boring.
We read the short story in the English class. Yeah.
Even the scape of the Hollywood Forever Cemetery with 3,000 local Los Angelinos drinking my face off, that thing's on the screen. I'm like, What a piece of garbage.
Well, I hate watching movies when I drink.
It's tough because some of these old films are just, you know, I was listening to somebody talk about Wayne's World the other day and how unfunny it is, like in 2020. But you watch something like Rosemary's Baby, which was a cinematic, you know.
Considered a masterpiece.
Also not funny, though.
Right, not funny at all. But it's just like, are we kidding? We're watching this. I mean, this is horrendously boring. Chinatown.
I've heard that's really boring.
Chinatown is lauded as one of the greatest scripts ever written. And it's just this happens, then this happens, then this happens, then this happens. And then it's got some fucking metaphorical line at the end. And everybody's like, oh, my God, Roman Polanski, he sodomized a 12-year-old girl.
Look how giant
this
squirrel is. I'm sorry.
All right, I interrupted you, Nick.
Rearview Mendo.
Question.
Yeah.
Is Rear View the one where the person's in a wheelchair?
Rear
and
window,
they,
yes.
And they
yes.
see
the crimes.
The crimes happen. Yes. Yeah, I read that in fucking some English class. I was fascinated.
They killed
by
the dog in that. They buried the dog.
And then you said something else.
Don't worry about it. What happened with the mirror?
I would. I'm actually going to start watching classic films. I have a lot
you
of
should
time.
Watch Chinatown.
I've carved out. I have a lot of time on my hands right now.
Is that right?
Yeah. A lot of wasted time on
Nick,
my hands.
The wife and I just watched the Coen brothers' first film, Blood Simple.
Yeah.
We were bored, and I said, let's do something different.
It's a good movie.
It is a good movie, but, yeah. You know, it's...
Citizen Kane, Casablanca, fucking...
I'll watch Citizen Kane with you. I've never seen it.
We're not going to watch it together. I'm going to watch it on myself, get high.
Yeah, you shouldn't drive if you're high.
What?
What a
well,
weird
you come
thing.
Over here.
I will watch it if, yeah. I don't know why I shut that down.
Citizen
so fast.
Kane.
Yeah,
I just, Citizen I just, Kane is just, an, it, I mean, it's so boring, but then it is such
how's
a,
that?
It is so unbelievably brilliant. It's so innovative, even the narrative structure of it. I feel like you can only really appreciate films like that if you're watching them in an academic setting, because otherwise, like, somebody has to be passionate and pointing this stuff out, hitting you over the head with it. The narrative structure, there's a faceless investigator that goes into the lives of each and every person who is close to Orson Welles in this film, or, you know, William Randolph Hearst, whatever the fuck his name is. You don't see this man's face, really.
Gone with the Wind, another one. If I can find a streaming service.
Just a narrative device that helps you along through the story. Depth of field, all this stuff. I mean, it's just unbelievable. The guy was in his early 20s, mid-20s when he was making this film and really had no fucking idea what was going on. I mean, it's just an unbelievable movie. Unbelievable movie.
I'll
what
check
happened
it out.
With the rear view?
My rear view mirror. Yeah. I had a 1997 Pontiac Grand Am.
Great car. Great car.
My grandma bought it for me. Both my other sisters bought their own cars, but she was like, you're a boy, you need a car. Like, that was her thing. She struggled. She bought me a
How
car.
How else are you going to get pussy?
Exactly. Yeah. Thanks, Graham. I still didn't get pussy in high school.
Right.
It's okay. I made up for it, and it made me feel bad. She gets me the 1997 Grand Am. Awesome. I'm driving around, going to work, get a job, stuff. Then I'm at Tom Durand's, and in the morning, we're like talking to each other.
He's a buddy of yours.
Yeah, yeah. Tom Durand. He got me my first job in L.A.
Tom Durand.
No.
Oh, this putting down the plastic for movie sets.
Yeah, he got me that job. Mm-hmm. That's just putting the pieces together for the people who are really hardcore fans.
That's where you met Jimmy, the old stock criminal with hot dog legs.
Who I didn't follow up with after he was kind of trying to check in on me and I achieved my dreams and I always wanted to tell him because he was such a good...
Well, he's dead, so...
He is dead. God. Yeah. Damn it, I'm going to cry. I'm not. But yeah, so I had the car.
Cry.
I don't think it'd be good pod.
Cry.
Let it go.
So Tom had like this like awning thing.
Let it go.
He had a two-car garage, but they had a ping pong table in there. So then they built an awning right off their house that you could park.
Beautiful.
A carport, some that. People call it in love the Midwest. So the weather can wreak havoc on your car.
Sure, sure, yeah.
And as I'm backing out, he's at his like...
That's why you need Flex Seal. You should cover your car in Flex Seal.
I should have...
What's that glob of putty you have in the garage? That's my car.
He's at the side door. We're fucking talking shit as I'm backing out, and I back out and I hit the pillar with my rear view mirror. God
it's
damn
tough.
It.
I've been struggling with it too. I don't know why it's so challenging.
I think it's all rear view window.
Now hold
window.
On. Explain. What do you? What is the rear view mirror to you?
Yeah.
The I'm sorry. What is it called?
Great question.
I'm talking about
Great question.
Yeah, thank you. That would be impossible to do what I described.
Yeah.
But didn't we were called?
You'd have to get your car inside of the car and then ram up towards the roof to damage the rear view mirror.
But clearly that's not what Pat did to this person's van.
No.
So what have we been saying the whole time? What is it called?
It's called a side mirror.
Side mirror.
You called it side mirror?
Yeah. Passenger side mirror.
How do we get in this whole rear view mirror discussion?
Well, you said you have had a rear view mirror story, which Pat and I just assumed you wouldn't be a psycho saying that you got into a car accident that damaged the rear view mirror. We just assumed that you were taking the mirror and threading it to another mirror.
To be fair, I assumed nothing.
Fair of you, because I could have gone a million directions off it. No, it was actually very...
I mean, you have to hit a car in such a cataclysmic manner to have damaged the rear view mirror. I mean, you have to total the car, essentially.
Extreme ownership.
Yeah.
I apologize.
You should.
He never said rear view mirror.
No.
That's correct.
Side mirror.
Yeah.
I have a side view mirror story.
Okay.
Passenger or driver's side?
Now,
driver's side.
That's not necessary, right?
Because
we're here now. We've got the right kind of mirrors. We don't need to get that granular.
Okay. Super appropriate, because it's actually not in Wisconsin. I don't know state by state, but you do not have to have a passenger side
Wisconsin
side
is just
oh, that's weird.
It's some one of the dumbest
isn't
states.
Isn't that state where you get a DUI, they just give you a ticket?
That's not true.
Oh, okay.
They have now switched, maybe at some point, but they now will punish you at the fullest extent of the law.
Well, yeah, because there are so many fucking red-faced drunks driving around.
Exactly. Anyways,
I hit another person.
I back off.
It's the fourth person you've killed.
My side mirror knocks off the pillar, just completely rips off. I'm like, God damn it. Grandma's gonna be fucking pissed. She really hated things getting broken, lost, whatever. It fucking irked her. I mean, I lost so many gloves in grade school, like pairs of winter gloves.
Right.
Like I would get the ones you could clip it on, whatever. Yeah. It rocked her world. I did not want to tell her this. So I drive home. I park.
Yeah.
The next morning, my grandma sees it.
It's like that scene out of Hereditary when she comes downstairs and she sees her daughter's decapitated body. She starts screaming.
Is that what it's like, Nick?
I brought the mirror and I dropped it next to my car.
Yeah, it's how drunk you were.
I wasn't drunk at all.
Okay.
Sorry. I wasn't drunk at all.
Nick, hold on.
I was scared.
How old were you? Obviously old enough to drive.
16, 17. Very
early. So all night you're sweating bullets. How are you going to explain this away to Grammy?
Yeah. I figured it out the night before I was going to explain it to Grammy.
Okay, this is what you do. You don't take any blame for it. You park it in such a manner that someone else did it.
That's exactly what I did.
Oh, good.
Yeah, you can still fix this. This is what you do.
No, hold on. Let me finish. I brought them here with me off times. Brought it with me in the car. Got out of my car, dropped it by my car. It was the whole plan was to do what my grandma finds it.
What a deceitful little shit you were.
My grandma finds it. And I'm like, oh my God. God, what happened? And she still doesn't know.
Right.
To this day.
I think we should call her and tell her on a different episode.
I love that idea. I would love to do that.
See how she takes it.
But she always thinks she's being made fun of. I'm like, you're hilarious, Grandma. I'm not making fun.
Speaking
God damn it. I feel so bad about it.
Well, you should, because you're a deceitful little prick. But
I'm using this show as therapy. What I did to Jeff,
yeah,
what I did to my grandma,
so
what
gross.
I did to Jimmy.
The audience doesn't deserve that, and we don't deserve that.
I tell those stories in an entertaining way. I'm done.
So speaking of, I know we have stuff to get to, but
we do?
Your old grandmother and traffic collisions reminded me of a time where I hit an old woman driving to the Hollywood Bowl. I may have told this story before, but I don't think so. I was driving along with my friend Petit Shark, and I was so stoned out of my mind.
That's what Pat was saying you should do.
Very dangerous to be this
high. He mocked me. I said, do I leave my house with a glass of wine?
No.
It's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing. No, it isn't.
You're impaired.
I could pass a driving test super high. There's no doubt in my mind.
Well, you couldn't because...
I've seen both of you guys get really high here, and I wouldn't want you guys
driving. When you get really high, it looks like a diseased prisoner came in your face. It looks so... Your eyes... look jaundiced and red and infected. So
why do you think I haven't gotten high today? It ruins my best feature, these baby blues.
All right. So anyway, so I rear-end this old woman. And I get out of the car. I go up to the driver's side window. And she is
I mean, it's the worst thing that could happen. Starts grabbing at her neck. She's old. Oh, her friend says, I'm going to call the police. I was 16. I didn't have my driver's license on me. It might have even been suspended. I was a very irresponsible kid. So I kind of got to talk her down off the ledge. It really wasn't that bad, but it, you know.
You get out of the car. Is she automatically screaming at you, though? Because that's a natural reaction to Los
Angeles. Oh, yeah.
What were you thinking?
100%.
I don't know. It's called an accident.
100%. Yes.
Okay.
What were you thinking? Although I do think that that's a valid question because especially in this city with it's this condensed and crowded, there is a responsibility for people to not get into car accidents. I know it's an accident, but when you drive past someone who got into a car accident, you know, I always say, nice going, fucking idiot, or something like that. And people constantly say, oh, have you no empathy? Have you no sympathy? They've just gotten into it.
Wait, you roll down your window and say that to
them? I say it to the person I'm in the car with, which could be me and myself or my wife or friends, whatever.
I feel bad. I have the exact opposite. I'm like, been there. This is miserable.
Yeah,
I say a little prayer to a God I don't think I believe in.
I don't do any of those things. I think, how could you get into a car accident? Genuinely, how do you get into a car accident? And if it's the person, if it's the person who didn't get into the who didn't cause the accident, who's in the accident, of course it's not on them. But the person that caused the accident, how? Come on, it's the 405. Please pay attention. The stakes are so high. If you get into an accident, you fuck up. I mean, it is just, it's cataclysmic for millions of people behind you. It's not fair.
I agree with the assessment. Have you been in an accident that you caused?
Well, yeah, the old woman, we interrupted your story. So what the fuck happened?
You interrupted her. I wasn't in here.
Oh, I mean, I did.
So, yes. Case in point, in summation, it is an appropriate question to ask. What were you thinking? Because just don't get into a car accident. I talk her down. She does not call the police because if the police would have come, they would have seen that I didn't have a license or it was suspended and I just hit this old woman. We exchange numbers. I say, I'll call you later. Call her the next day. She's alone. She's a very lonely old woman. She just wants to talk. So me and her strike up a phone friendship. We're talking 10, 15 minutes. She says, will you call me tomorrow? And I say, yeah, I'll give you a call. And
you're 16.
16 or 17, yeah.
Way to make him what a great forgivable.
Movie. We have this kind of romance going.
What's her name?
I don't know.
Esther. Let's call her Gladys.
Let's call her Gladys.
Let's call it Tuesdays with Gladys. I'm writing the script.
Okay.
All right, where does this go?
So there's this facade that...
He now feeds her every week.
There's this facade that we're talking to each other to settle this car thing out. But I quickly realized that's not what I'm being used for at all. My time is being milked. My companionship is the true value here. So I decide I'm going to be an overbearing friend to this woman. I call her every single day. She stops answering the phone. Doesn't matter. I keep calling. I keep calling. I keep calling. Eventually, she gets so annoyed with me that she says, please stop calling me. I don't need to speak to you anymore. The car is fine. I'm fine. We're all good. And I said, Gladys, have a great Tuesday.
Wow.
And that was it. She never, you know.
Couple details.
No insurance, no money exchange,
nothing.
How much
damage did you do to her car?
Kind of fucked up her back bumper.
Just the bumper?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love, that's a great tactic to take. I have someone in my life who used to call me and it would ruin my week to discuss with them. I ain't hanging up first. I'm going to bring up more things we have to discuss before you do.
Yeah.
And it works. Like, you can hear agitation on the other end.
Kill them with kindness.
And they're like, one more thing.
You
want
to play this game, Gladys? I'll fucking play this game, Gladys. Anyways, that's it for us.
I got stories for days. You want to hear what I did for my side mirror?
No, because that is
the
show. No,
I'm talking to the person that tried to agitate.
Got it. Well, jump in the iTunes reviews, leave 5 stars. We really need the help. I mean, I if you're listening to this and you haven't left a review, what do we need to do? No, honestly, I don't want to get mad at you. I'm just, what do we need to do?
Title, Rear View Passenger Side Mirror.
What do we need to do to get you to jump in there, leave 5 stars? Here, let's do this.
leave 5 stars and tell us what we need to get you to do to get you to leave a review.
Fun segment.
Leave 5 stars and tell us what you would need us to do to get you to hypothetically leave a review. We love you guys very much. Thank you for listening. Patreon.com. Another one of these episodes every week. Patreon.com/AnotherPodcastNetwork. Check us out on YouTube. Search Another Podcast Network. I'm Dylan saying goodbye. Nick, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Pat, say goodbye.
Bye.